ABC Radio Darwin.
I'm Mary Frost. I'm a viola player. A viola is a member of the violin family, and most people are familiar with the violin, which is the kind of soprano of the four instruments that make up the string family. Then there's the viola, which is kind of like the alto. Then there's the cello, which is kind of like the tenor. And then the double bass, which most people are familiar with because it's so widespread in things like jazz and as well as classical music. The problem for viola players is that we have a C string, which is very similar to the cello. And that's quite a deep string in contrast with the violin. And so, therefore, to produce the sound, to make the sound resonate from the C string, you need a larger instrument than a violin. But I'm a small person, so in the old language, I'm 5 foot, or I think 152 centimetres. And so a large instrument is just not comfortable for me. And so for years I played a small instrument, but it didn't really resonate on the C string. And, you know, when you hear the instrument, you'll see that my instrument now actually speaks quite loudly on the C string. So some years ago in Darwin, I heard a chamber orchestra, the Australian Chamber Orchestra, and their principal viola player had an instrument that sounded just like I thought a viola should sound, but it wasn't particularly big. So the internet's a very useful tool. I googled his name, I googled his instrument, and eventually it took me to the maker of my instrument. Hiroshi Iizuka is a Japanese man who lives in the States, and he's the one that's made these instruments. I emailed the maker, Mr. Iizuka, in Philadelphia, and said, I'm small, I'm looking for a large instrument. He said, fine, go on a waiting list, 2 years, pay me $1,000 US and I'll put you on the waiting list. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll do that. And then a couple of months later, he emailed me and said he'd had an instrument out sort of on approval, but it had come back into his workshop. The person decided not to take it and he thought it would suit me, but I would have to come to Philadelphia within 3 months to pick it up. Like, he wasn't going to hold it beyond that. So, you know, I went on the website, I found the cheapest fares, I flew to Philadelphia, I was there for 2.5 days, and I actually played it in his workshop. And he's this very lovely, still kind of inscrutable Japanese man, very, very serene kind of approach to life. And I can remember just playing it thinking, oh, this is what an instrument should sound like. To his credit, he didn't just present that instrument to me. He found a number of others that I could compare and contrast, but I kept coming back to this one, and then ultimately he told me, ah, this is the one I picked out for you. So he clearly understood my needs, he clearly understood my limitations in terms of my size, and he clearly understood the voice that I was looking for. And so, yeah, it was magic, and it was winter, and I'd flown from Darwin, and I still remember standing there. I had to take my gloves off to actually play because I was just so cold, you know, it's snowing outside, and feeling like, oh, this was so worth it. He would have made, I'm guessing, something probably less than 100 in his life. Maybe it's more than that. I know of about 10 or 11 in Australia, and we're quite a club. We have our own Facebook group, and we all know when someone's getting a new one because people sometimes kind of trade down as they get older because all of us get stiffer. And viola players do actually have quite a lot of injuries, professional viola players. I'm not a professional viola player. I'm actually a doctor in my other life, but I certainly wanted an instrument in which I felt comfortable, and this instrument has really solved a lot of the shoulder problems that I was having when I had a bigger instrument. So my instrument is a small viola, but with a big butt. Quite large in its beam, but it isn't long in its length. So with my short arms, I can actually make a I hope, a beautiful sound on my C string, rather than be stretching really uncomfortably the way I would to normally make a good sound on the viola. Unlike most instruments that you would see in the orchestra, this instrument is decorated. So it has a design which actually is Japanese in origin, given Hiroshi's background, and that is either side of what's called the fingerboard, and it's quite an ornate, swirly design. I think of it, there's such a fashion amongst people who wear body art to have tribal tattoos, and I say to people, it's the only tattoo I will ever sport, so my viola has a tattoo, I don't. The instrument itself is very curvaceous. It is broader than your standard violin, and that is something that most people notice, even if they're not familiar with the violin as a family. The bow itself is made from a Brazilian wood called Pernambuco, which is now on the endangered wood species, so I don't travel overseas with that bow, because it would be confiscated, or it could be confiscated, and it also has an ivory tip, and ivory is now also on that banned list. So I have a carbon fibre bow when I travel overseas with my instrument. And the hair of the bow is horse hair. I would try and play most days. In reality, it probably ends up being about 5 days a week. But, certainly most days I would practice or I would rehearse. So I'm in the Darwin Symphony Orchestra. I'm what's called the principal viola, meaning that I sit at the front and lead my section. I also love playing chamber music. And being a doctor, I have the privilege of being in a number of doctors' orchestras. So I've just come back from Melbourne, where the doctor's orchestra I play in, which is called Corpus Medicorum, so a body of doctors, played an all-Beethoven concert as part of a fundraiser for the classical music station 3MBS. So, we played nothing but Beethoven on the weekend, and that's a glorious thing for me to do. And Beethoven's 250 this year, so it was a lovely celebration to be able to play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which most people know, da-da-da-dum. So, we played that. We played it well, and, I'm surrounded by anaesthetists and GPs and colorectal surgeons and ophthalmologists, and, it's a really lovely group. I always think of the viola as occupying a kind of cohesive role in the orchestra. It's a kind of middle voice, and I kind of liken it to if you've got chocolate on the outside, but you have a really luscious kind of ganache filling, that's the role of the viola. So, you bite into the chocolate, and when you start to savour the chocolate, it's not actually the outside that you're thinking about, it's the inner voice. Sometimes it matches the violin, so it will support the higher treble sound. And sometimes it goes along with the cellos and double basses, and that's where our C string really comes into its own. So if you had, say, two violins and a cello, most people with a musical ear would really miss that kind of ganache filling. They would say the sound's a bit brittle, it really needs more kind of glue. I started on violin when I was about 8, and then in high school, when it was obvious to my teacher that I wasn't going to be a professional musician, she actually recommended I try viola because there was more demand for viola players. And I was a bit of a reluctant, I really like playing the violin and the violin gets all the tunes and violas don't have the tune. But I rapidly found I really liked the voice of a viola. I don't sing as a soprano, I sing more like an alto, so I think the somehow that lower voice spoke to me. And my teacher was absolutely correct that very quickly when I went to viola, people were asking me to do things, whereas as a violinist I was always standing in a queue. Last year I went down with the orchestra to Alice Springs in October. And, you know, we'd left 98% humidity here and went to about 10% humidity in Alice Springs. And I'd forgotten to bring my little flannel and plastic bag. So I nicked a flannel from the hotel and found a plastic bag and put it in. And we gave some school concerts and people were asking about how do you keep your instrument sort of safe. And so I pulled out my little hotel flannel and showed them that, you know, you sometimes just have to be a little bit inventive when you forget to keep the case humidified. With my instrument, and because of those climatic variations, I would probably take it to a luthier, a violin repairer, about every 2 years or so. So the tension of the strings over the bridge is really important because that's where the sound resonates from, and then the bridge is attached to a sound post inside the instrument. And so what happens is with the change in humidity, the bridge can start to shift, which means the sound post shifts. And so every time I have it maintained, it's like, oh, it's got its voice back. I do sometimes find if I let it go for too long that beauty of the sound is not quite as I recall it. So the fellow that I take it to in Sydney loves these instruments. He doesn't service many of them, but he just says they're so responsive when he shifts around the bridge and he adjusts the soundposts very slightly. And out of that, he always says how satisfied his customers are because this is an instrument that is quite sort of delicately balanced, I suspect. Go-to music at times of happiness, sadness, pain, distress, pure joy is unaccompanied bark. So I just find that Bach, whose music speaks to so many people, is a really important part of my life. So, yeah, that's my kind of my go-to viola drug, really. I said to somebody the other day that if someone took it from me, it would be like losing a limb. It feels like it's part of me, it's part of my life, it's part of my capacity to express myself. It's a really important emotional outlet. In comparison with my work, where I have to be kind of organised and structured and very quite disciplined, it's lovely to have this creative outlet, and this instrument just speaks so beautifully for me.
ABC Radio, Darwin.
Don't forget that.